This, the Voice of Freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
Having a hard time finding your favorite show on shortwave or satellite? The Christian Media Newspaper now provides program guides to all the top Christian, patriot, and alternative radio programs. Four times a year, they print an updated shortwave and satellite program guide. Christian Media is $20 per year and includes news and interviews on Christian books, video, music, and broadcasting. Subscribe now and receive a free Christian music compact disc with your paid order. To subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. Once again, to subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. Call now.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independent Foundation Trust as a nonprofit community service.
Well, once again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, the man named by William Jefferson Clinton in the White House memo as the most dangerous radio host in America. And when when I screw up the intro to a program like that, I don't know where he comes off calling me the most dangerous radio host in America. Just joking, folks. Actually, I do. And those of you who have been listening to the Hour of the Time for a long time, you also know. It's because we tell the truth on this broadcast. We tell it like it is. We document it and we source it. We tell you how you can get your hands on it. And boy, that makes socialists and communists, who are the most chronic, habitual liars that have ever lived upon the face of the earth, stark raving mad. I mean, they just go off the deep end. Did you know that they all listen to this broadcast because they love to be flogged? They're masochists. They can't stand it. the same reason they listen to Rush Limbaugh and then try to make you think that they really care about what he says. No, folks, it's this broadcast. It's this broadcast that hurts them the most. And none of it. You can bet your boots on that. It just happens to be a fact. And I'm trying to cue up tapes here while I'm talking, and I went past my cue. So I'll try that one again. Well, we left off in Relevance magazine. And missed that cue again. Left off in Relevance magazine at the end of the Timothy McVeigh and murder of Vince Foster thing. And today I'm going to continue, as I promised I would. There, I finally got that tape cued properly. And then I've got some other things to tell you all about the conference so far. It's filling up. A lot of people are choosing to camp, however. So we still have some bunks left in the bunkhouse. And that's unusual. But I guess people are taking advantage of the lower rates and bringing their sleeping bags and their campers and things like that. And a lot of them are going to camp out. There are a lot of people in the bunkhouse, but we still have some bunks left in the bunkhouse. Bunkhouses are heated and air-conditioned and all that kind of stuff. So if you're interested, call Connie at the office. Now, she won't be here in the morning tomorrow. She's got some personal business to take care of, but she will be here from 12 to 4 tomorrow afternoon. By the way, folks, we have new hours for the office. It's 9 a.m. normally. Tomorrow it'll be 12 to 4. But normally the office is open from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. That's 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So if you need to call and talk to somebody who's a live human being on the telephone, make sure you call between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, Monday through Friday. With the exception of tomorrow, Connie has some personal business to attend to, so she will not be in the office, and the office will not be open until noon, and it will be open from noon to 4 tomorrow only. Okay, without further ado, don't go away. Make sure you get your pen and paper, as always, so that you can write stuff down when you listen to the hour of the time. And I'll be right back after this very short pause.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and the pledge to the ideals of our forefathers. The men who fought and died in the building of this great nation. It's a pledge to fulfill our duties and obligations as citizens of the United States and to uphold the principles of our Constitution. And last but not least, it's a pledge to maintain the four great freedoms cherished by all Americans. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. Thank you.
Well, we continue, ladies and gentlemen, with the reading of Relevance, the latest issue of Relevance magazine. And let me tell you how to get it, just in case you've been listening and you missed the subscription information. And Relevance and my good friend, editor Philip M. O'Halloran, do not even know that I'm doing this. We don't get anything for this. I'm not trying to sell Relevance magazine. It just happens to be one of my favorites. And when it comes out, I usually read it over the air, and or at least a portion of it, and because I think that it has relevant information, just like the title says, Relevance. A regular subscription is $110, $110 worth every single penny of it, ladies and gentlemen, as those of you who have probably been listening to the last couple of episodes have realized. It says here that there is a special price if you take advantage of it right now, $76. And the number to call is 1-800-626-8944. That's 1-800-626-8944. Once again, 1-800-626-8944. And the regular subscription is $110. It says here special price if you call right now, $76. Once again, we get nothing for this at the Harvest Trust. I get nothing for it, period. The only job I have is as a trustee, and I'm paid a very small salary. And Mr. O'Halloran and Relevance Corporation do not even know that I'm doing this, unless one of you have called them and told them, of course, and then they might. I continue, page 10 of the April edition of Relevance magazine. The federal government's unerring ability to apply just enough veneer of respectability to even the most implausible official stories was evident once again in the investigation of the Flight 800 disaster. In our December 1996 issue, The Missile That Never Was, we showed that there was only one viable theory to explain the damage pattern to the plane and the fact that there was no significant explosive residue or blast damage to either the plane or the bodies. To this was added the independent accounts of the FBI's 154 credible witnesses who saw something streaking toward that plane just prior to its demise. There is also a videotape, which I have seen, ladies and gentlemen, on the night of the disaster, of a missile rising up from the water and hitting the aircraft. The missile theory postulates no ordinary projectile, but a special type of surface-to-air missile, one that destroyed the aircraft not with explosive damage, but with a blunt mechanical force which literally ripped it apart at 13,700 feet. The leading candidates, the continuous rod warhead, nicknamed by the Navy as the Flying Buzzsaw for its metal hula hoop, which expands outwards from the missile at extraordinary speeds, slicing the target plane in two. The blast fragmentation warhead, on the other hand, sprays out metal spheres like a flying shotgun. Another possibility being considered by independent media researchers is a Dud missile, which could have bored right through the plane at thousands of feet per second after straying off course from an alleged Navy exercise gone awry. Now, let me interject here. This is the only thing I disagree with in this issue, ladies and gentlemen. There is no proof, no evidence, no indications whatsoever that the missile that downed Flight 800 was a United States Navy missile from any exercise or any intentional loss or any gone astray thing or any other happenstance whatsoever. Now I continue with Relevance magazine. The problem with theories involving the U.S. Navy is that major media outlets, NBC News and CBS News, are owned by mega defense contractors, General Electric and Westinghouse, respectively. It must be hard to maintain fierce independence and objectivity in one's coverage of the event when it could mean implicating your parent firm's prime customer. The problems posed by the ownership of media by major defense contractors goes beyond stories of military import and creates a conflict of interest in big media's coverage of any topic involving the U.S. government. This is because the continuation of military contracts can be made contingent on the media firm's coverage of any issue involving the government, from the Oklahoma bombing to our new Orwellian surveillance society, the construction of which is being financed by government contracts with high-tech and engineering corporations. In fact, the Pentagon is right now trying to decide whether to offer a $2 billion contract for the production of field artillery for use by the Marine Corps to either British Aerospace or VSEL, a General Electric subsidiary. The defense howls of the media know nothings are never louder than when they are discussing bizarre right-wing delusions about an implantable microchip being used to track people and to maintain their bank accounts on their persons. Relevance did some research in 1994 and determined that the technology did exist and that the microchip was being designed for widespread use in humans. A few months later, on April 29, 1995, the Detroit News and Free Press ran a front-page attack piece on conspiracy theory and its putative connection to the Oklahoma bombing, which had just occurred. After convincing the reader that only Timothy McVeigh and a few crazies actually believed in the microchip myth, staff writer David McHugh proceeded to point out that the folks at Relevance shared this wacky little delusion. Our documentation of the reality of the microchip initiative was studiously omitted from the article, and the reader was left to assume by its snickering tone that there was, of course, no truth to our kooky contentions. As happened so often with the moribund mainline media, the News and Free Press ended up looking quite silly the following year, with their more prestigious and more diligent peers at the Chicago Tribune did a proper investigation of the microchip story and found that they do indeed exist and that they are expected to be implanted in humans within a few years. The May 7, 1996 Tribune article entitled, "In Future, Tiny Chip May Get Under Skin," it revealed that not only is the microchip planned for human use as a consumer product within a few years, but that the notion of using implantable chips to control humans isn't entirely absent, even in these early stages of the technology's development. It also quoted an expert who hinted darkly that when it comes to the implantable biochip, things which are voluntary today have a way of becoming compulsory tomorrow. Finally this month, ABC World News Tonight caught up with reality and blithely reported on the widespread uses of implantable microchips in tagging parts in industry and the tagging of animals, including pets. The segment closed matter-of-factly with a brief mention of the possibility of using the microchip in Homo sapiens. Not all areas of corruption fighting are targeted by the media's scorched truth policy. For example, the major media is loath to mention a single word about the increasingly notorious subject known as vote scam. It seems that computer vote rigging is such a dangerous topic that the press doesn't dare to even attempt the usual smear campaign against those putting out information on the subject. The November 1996 issue of Relevance, Pandora's Black Box, Did It Really Count Your Vote?, proved that election officials have no way of assuring honest election results to the voters because they have no access to the electronic source codes inside the vote counting machines. Incredibly, the codes are the proprietary information of a handful of virtually unknown election service companies which count almost 70% of the vote by computer. What's more, these companies, some of them are not even American, are now installing modems inside the computers, allowing the potential for surreptitious outside phone access during an election to the inner counting mechanisms of the voting computers by the only entities possessing the modem access codes, the election services companies. We also recounted the case of a Louisiana candidate for a parish council seat who produced a videotape depicting an apparent case of electronic vote rigging in the 1995 election. Members of the New York City Board of Elections were alarmed enough by the video that they opposed the contract by the city with the company implicated in the New Orleans case. The issue of vote scam may be the most important of all the issues we've discussed, and it is potentially the most likely to ignite public opposition and change. But since it is also one of the key linchpins of political control, it will continue to be resisted from every quarter of the political establishment in this country. With the rise of the independent media, many of the most hermetically sealed stories of treason and corruption are slowly wafting into the living rooms, cars, and conversations of mainstream America. Nevertheless, since this shocking news goes beyond the mainstream media's ersatz brand of soothing infotainment and suggests that ordinary people might have to actually participate in and even fight to retain what's left of their dwindling democracy, we notice a distinct decline in the interest level of all but the most ardent believers in good government. Even those who are convinced that high-level corruption exists are more inclined than ever to yawn and get on with the really important business of making money on the stock market and quenching their insatiable appetites for entertainment and leisure activities. More importantly, buying the lie assists in the maintenance of one of our most important psychological defense mechanisms, denial. Thus, the same haughty commentators sounding the alarm about the rampant virus of paranoia threatening to engulf the country, in terms almost as apocalyptic as those used by the so-called paranoids, are blind to their own phobia for the truth. Now that all the interlocking scandals, crimes, and conspiracies are coming out into the open, we're beginning to find that many Americans don't much mind a little hanky-panky, as long as it doesn't impinge too much on their lives and their wallets. The 1992 refrain, "It's the economy, stupid," translates to, "It's my bank account, stupid." Americans who respond to polls have made it clear that to the majority, corruption in the Oval Office is an acceptable price they are more than willing to pay for a young, charismatic, professional politician who tells them whatever they want to hear. Whenever they want to hear it. But as pessimistic as the outlook remains for the majority, there is reason for cautious optimism. You see, across the country, a swelling minority of outspoken, thinking individuals are starting to pierce the dominant media's blackout. After an almost superhuman effort, the endurance of the gutsy few who have struggled in quiet desperation to preserve the freedoms of the undeserving rabble known as the American public, I call them the American sheeple, has been stretched to the breaking point. From brave whistleblowers beset by corrupt bureaucrats to politically incorrect targets of federal frame-ups, from tireless organizers of opposition to the mom-and-pop sweatshops that churn out the truth on their fax machines, from the handful of statesmen in Congress risking their careers to uphold their oaths of office to their tireless supporters, from honest reporters who refuse to slant their stories to those who spend scarce resources in support of the independent press, from straight-talking radio hosts smeared by the White House itself, and that's a direct reference to the Hour of the Time and yours truly, William Cooper. I'll read that again so you can get it, because I'm the only one who has been directly by name smeared by the White House and named the most dangerous radio host in America. Listen to this. I'll read it to you again. To those who spend scarce resources in support of the independent press, from straight-talking radio hosts smeared by the White House itself to their concerned callers, billions have bonded into a small but formidable opposition to the ongoing destruction of the United States Constitution. Although beat down, demoralized, broke, and near despair, they can step back and admire their small but crucial victory. Against the odds, they have succeeded in breaking the mesmerizing hold of our media, Svengali's, on the minds of many times their number. Their efforts have paved the way for the eventual return to the United States of genuine rule of, by, and for the people. How about that? End. The end. You can also receive a list of relevant publications from July 1994 to the present by calling 1-800-626-8944. The articles are penetrating, excellent, properly and thoroughly researched and presented. And I love it. Last time I spoke in the state of Michigan, Phil and I had dinner and talked for quite a long time. He is an intriguing, interesting, intelligent, concerned, patriotic American. And while we've got this break here, and so we don't interrupt the continuity of what is to follow, I think we'll take our normal break at this time rather than 5 or 6 minutes from now. So don't go away, folks. Hang on to your seats. Make sure you have pen and paper by your side. And I might return. I might return after this brief pause that sends shudders up the spines of the socialists and communists, which most are so despicably afraid to name as such and call them liberals, sends them running terrified, screaming into the night.
Call now.
Having a hard time finding your favorite show on shortwave or satellite? The Christian Media Newspaper now provides program guides to all the top Christian, patriot, and alternative radio programs. 4 times a year, they print an updated shortwave and satellite program guide. Christian Media is only $20 a year and includes news and interviews on Christian books, video, music, and broadcasting. Subscribe now and receive a free Christian music compact disc with your paid order. To subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. Once again, to subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. Call now.
Swell the breeze and read from all the trees.
really gets them. You see, they're godless, gutless, lying. So good. And don't get me wrong, this isn't the only one. We get other letters that are nice and complimentary and thanking us for the work that we do, but every once in a while we get one that's just special. And it's a shame because this person won't even hear me read it. I don't think. Says, Dear William Cooper, the Hour of the Time broadcast is a very important part of my everyday life. I guess he will. The message you give about reading books, researching information, and finding out the truth has helped me understand why our freedom is being taken away. 10 years ago, I read a book, Uncommon Sense. The author is unknown. The author asked, Are you a socialist, American, pseudo-American, or a real American? Reading this book woke me up. But The Hour of the Time took the sleep out of my eyes and is giving me a very good education and the truth. I have read your book, Behold a Pale Horse, by William Cooper, and listened to the Mystery Babylon series of tapes. I have read some of the books mentioned in the Mystery Babylon tapes. Every so often I go over this information again to make things clearer to me. God bless you, William Cooper. I respect you for all your hard work and truthfulness you put into The Hour of the Time and for your freedom. Sincerely, Jim. Jim, I want to thank you very much, if you are listening, for this letter. Like everyone else, occasionally I need a little uplift, and by golly, that did it. I mean, it really did it. So, once again, thank you. The conference, June 30th through July 4th, 1997, is shaping up really well. I mean, really well. A lot of people are coming. We have some bunks available still in the bunkhouses. There are 4 bunkhouses, each having 10 bunk beds. And a lot of people are coming that will camp. And they're going to have a lot of fun. Everybody's going to have a lot of fun. It's just one of the most beautiful places you've ever seen in your life. As I told you before, it's a working horse ranch. In the middle of a fantastic forest, rivers, open meadows, abundant, in fact, overabundant wildlife. Elk, deer, bears, skunks, squirrels, you name it. It's all there. And the sky. Ladies and gentlemen, in Arizona, not just here, but anywhere in the state of Arizona, is the most incredible sky you've ever seen in your life, but especially in the mountains, because we're closer to those stars. There's not that much atmosphere between us and those stars, and the moon, and everything else. It's just incredibly clear, the most beautiful cerulean blue that you've ever seen in your life in the daytime, and the clouds are whiter than cotton puffs. Whiter, if you can imagine that. And you can just see forever. At night, the sky becomes a lens. It actually magnifies the stars, and you will see stars that you've never seen before in your entire life. I guarantee it. In fact, you will be in awe of the majesty of the heavens. And every day that you're at the conference, we're going to fill your time from the time you get up in the morning until the time you go to bed at night. And you're going to be so tired you're not going to watch television or want to watch television, and there isn't any anywhere where we are going to be anyway. And you will fall to sleep like a rock falling off a cliff, and when you get up in the morning, you will feel great. You do it all over again, except for the last night on Friday. We traditionally have a cookout and camp out under the stars. Most of us literally sit up talking all night long to the friends, the old friends who return year after year to our conferences, and the new friends that we make at each conference because it's their first time. And you will make friends at these conferences, ladies and gentlemen, that will last you for the rest of your entire life. And they will be loyal and true, because that's the kind of people who come. Only the best. Kind and gentle and caring people. But don't be fooled by that surface gentleness. They are true Americans and are prepared at the drop of a hat, if necessary, to take up arms and fight for freedom, to restore this nation and this Constitution to its rightful place as the supreme law of the land. They are the people who have traditionally always stood up in time of need. That's why they come to these conferences. They are the best that there are. I'm going to give you the prices. Remember, it's June 30th through July 4th. I'm going to give you the prices for all meals, a bed in the bunkhouse, and the conference for a single person, member of either CAGI or the Intelligence Service, is $400. A couple who are members, $740. If you bring a child under 12, add $220 per child for members. Child over 12, add $270 per child for members. Now, if you want to camp out, or if you want to stay in one of the local motels or hotels in the local resort cities, and just pay for all meals in the conference, for a single person, it's $340. For a couple, it's $680. Remember, these are member prices. Child under five, or I should say five and under, is free if you're camping, or if you're staying in town at one of the motels or hotels, and we'll help you find one that's to your satisfaction. Child under 12, if you're camping or staying at a local motel or hotel, add $120 per child. Child over 12, add $240 per child. Remember, children 5 and under are free. The cabin is gone, ladies and gentlemen, so no sense even talking about it. It's gone. For non-members, these are non-member prices. If you want all meals, it's breakfast, lunch, and supper, and a bed, and the conference, which you've got to have anyway to come. Single person is $500. These are non-member prices. Single person, $500. A couple is $840. These are non-member prices. Couple is $840. Child under 12. With a bed, conference, and meals, add $260 per child. Child over 12, add $310 per child. Now, if you're a non-member, you just want to come and have all the meals of the conference, and you're either going to camp out, or bring your camper, or your RV, whatever it happens to be, or a tent and a sleeping bag, and there's plenty of ample restroom and shower facilities, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to worry about that, and they're separate, men and women. It's a five-star. It's a five-star ranch with five-star food. Now, those of you who travel, you know what that means. It's the best. It is the very best that there is. And we're just getting it for incredible prices, as you can see. You know, where can you go to any five-star resort, anywhere in the world, and pay these prices and have a conference, too, and all meals paid for? You can't do it. So non-members, camping or staying in a hotel or motel in town, non-members, just meals and conference, for a single person, $440, couple, $780, children 5 and under are free, for each child under 12, add $160 per child, for each child over 12, add $280 per child. Now, tell you what the schedule is going to be. Monday, June 30th, from 9 until noon, 9 a.m. until noon, is registration. There will be no breakfast on Monday, June 30th. 9 a.m. until noon, registration. From noon until 1:30 p.m., lunch. And I'll tell you what lunch is going to be in a few minutes. From 1:30 p.m. until 3 p.m., there will be a speaker. From 3 to 4 will be the live radio broadcast of the hour of the time. From 4 to 6 p.m. will be a speaker or a lecturer, some kind of educational event. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. will be supper. And from 7:30 p.m. until the speaker decides that they're too tired to go on, it's usually either by or before midnight. And that will end Monday, June 30th. Tuesday through Thursday, from 7:30 until 9 a.m. is breakfast every morning. From 9 a.m. until noon, there will be a speaker / lecturer / something, maybe a movie. Might be slides, might be something, but it's going to be something that's going to knock your socks off. From noon until 1:30 p.m., lunch. 1:30 to 3 p.m., another speaker. From 3 to 4, the live radio broadcast of the hour of the time. Remember, this is Tuesday through Thursday. From 4 to 6 p.m., speaker will be an event. And 6 to 7:30 p.m. will be supper. And from 7:30 until whenever the speaker decides to quit, or midnight, whichever comes first, or runs out of material, will be the last speaker of the day, or a continuation of whatever speaker is speaking during that time. Friday, July 4th is a little bit different because it's our traditional campout night. 7:30 to 9 a.m. is breakfast. 9 a.m. to noon, there will be speaker. Noon to 1:30 p.m., lunch. 1:30 to 3 p.m., speaker again. From 3 to 4 p.m., the live radio broadcast of the hour of the time. From 4 to 6 p.m. again, a speaker. And I should say from 4 to 5 p.m. on that Friday, there will be a speaker. And then from 5 until 6:30 will be free time. That'll give you a little time to get a little bit of rest, maybe take a nap, clean up, whatever you want to do. And then at 6:30 p.m., the campout cookout starts and goes until the next morning, which is Saturday, July 5th. And from 7:30 to 9 a.m. on Saturday, July 5th, will be breakfast. And then after that, everyone will leave and depart to go back home from wherever they came from. So, let me tell you what the meals are. Ha-ha. You're going to love this. It's incredible. Monday, June 30th, no breakfast. It's registration from 9 a.m. until noon. Lunch, turkey club sandwiches, fresh fruit, potato salad, macaroni salad, green salad, brownies, iced tea, lemonade, and coffee. And for supper, tri-tip roast, mashed potatoes, gravy, salad, Brussels sprouts with cheese, rolls, strawberry shortcake with ice cream. Tuesday, July 1st, breakfast bar, cold cereal, fresh fruit, milk, orange juice, coffee and tea, ham and eggs, home fries, biscuits and jam. For lunch, barbecue beef sandwiches, fresh fruit, potato salad, macaroni salad, green salad, home fries, cookies, iced tea, lemonade and coffee. Now, folks, when I'm talking about this stuff, I'm not talking about McDonald's or any of the restaurants that you're used to going to. This is five-star food, and this is authentic Western barbecue beef, and you're going to love it. For supper on Tuesday night is traditional homemade real Mexican tacos, beef or chicken, refried beans, Mexican rice, fruit salad with fresh fruit. And, folks, this is not Taco Bell stuff. If you've never had real, traditional, homemade Mexican food, you've never tasted anything like this. Wednesday, July 2nd, breakfast bar, cold cereal, fresh fruit, milk, orange juice, coffee, tea, Dutch oven biscuits. Now, Dutch oven is where you make a fire. Never mind, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you that Dutch oven biscuits are fantastic. Dutch oven biscuits and gravy, eggs, home fries, and bacon. For lunch, hamburgers, fresh fruit, potato salad, macaroni salad, green salad, home fries, iced tea, lemonade, coffee, and cookies. And for supper that night, smoked chicken. I mean real smoked chicken. Baked potatoes, chuck wagon beans, salad, corn on the cob, rolls, Dutch oven apple cobbler with ice cream. Once again, this Dutch oven stuff is something that most of you have never tasted. It is delicious. Thursday, July 3rd, breakfast bar, cold cereal, fresh fruit, milk, orange juice, coffee, tea, pancakes, sausage, eggs, and home fries. For lunch, beef or chicken enchiladas, real homemade, real Mexican stuff, green salad, refried beans, fresh fruit, iced tea, lemonade, coffee, and ice cream. And for supper, Thursday night, July 3rd, smoked barbecue ribs. Smoked barbecue ribs, baked potatoes, chuck wagon beans, coleslaw, broccoli, squash, rolls, and brownies. Friday, July 4th, breakfast bar, cold cereal, fresh fruit, milk, orange juice, coffee, tea, real homemade Mexican breakfast burritos and home fries. Not the stuff you get off the truck that comes around where you work or anywhere else you've ever been. For lunch, barbecue chicken, fresh fruit, green salad, macaroni salad, potato salad, home fries, iced tea, lemonade, coffee, and cookies. And for supper, it's a chuck wagon cookout, a real chuck wagon cookout on a real working horse ranch on a real fire. Just like the old days, folks, and it's a real chuck wagon. Chuck wagon cookout, steak, hamburgers, hot dogs, you can take your choice. Corn on the cob, baked potato, green salad, chuck wagon beans, Texas toast, Dutch oven, peach cobbler with ice cream. Oh, man, I'm making myself hungry. And Crusher, who's all flaked out on the floor here beside me, is licking his chops and slobbering all over the place, as if he can understand what I'm saying. Saturday, July 5th. The last meal of the conference, just before everybody departs for wherever they're departing for, after having spent a night under the stars around a campfire, breakfast bar, cold cereal, fresh fruit, milk, orange juice, coffee, tea, scrambled eggs, bacon, home fries, biscuits, and jam, and that's it. And that's enough, I got to tell you. It is going to be an incredible time. And as usual, everybody who doesn't come after they hear the tapes of the conference and the broadcast during the conference always are writing letters or calling in saying how they wish they had attended. Don't let that happen to you folks. This is going to be the best conference, the very best conference we have ever had. And if you miss out, you're going to be kicking yourself in the butt forever, I can guarantee it. Okay, now I've got a few other little tidbits here I want to get out to you because, here we go. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the United States military is performing law enforcement duty on the border? And not too long ago, they shot a young man. You say it's against the law for the military to conduct law enforcement operations and function as police officers? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to tell you this, but somebody hasn't read the law, at least not that law, because the United States Marine Corps are patrolling the border, ladies and gentlemen, with rifles and guns and shooting at people, and they just killed a young man. They say the young man fired at them first with a .22 rifle. The young man's family says that he was just out tending his sheep and may have been target practicing or plinking or shooting at a coyote or something, if he even shot at all. And there's some question about whether the young man shot. He was a shepherd. And these Marines shot and killed him. Shot and killed him. The boy with the .22 rifle. And of course, they were skulking and hiding in the bushes, in the brush. And that's probably why all this happened, sneaking around, doing things that are against the law. But you see, communists and socialists, and this administration is as communist and socialist as it gets, ladies and gentlemen, don't give a damn about the law. Not at all. In fact, there's an article that just ran in the Hartford Courant, June 4th, 1997, entitled "Criticize Government and You Will Hang" by Llewellyn H. Rockwell, Jr. Was Timothy McVeigh on trial for his politics or for murder? Reading the transcripts of the trial and listening to media commentators, it was hard to tell. From the beginning, leftish liberals in media and government used this tragedy for despicable political grandstanding. Recall that in the early days after the bombing, the Clinton administration organized to blame it on the rise of talk radio. They darn near ascribed it to the Republican takeover of Congress. These are the people who have denounced McCarthyism for decades. This time, they implicated every right of center political activist as inherently dangerous. In the trial itself, the prosecution continually announced and denounced McVeigh's motive in the bombing. What was it? That he doesn't like the federal government? For example, he carried documents with virulent, violent, hateful rhetoric. He quoted the Declaration of Independence. He was wearing a t-shirt spouting hate. Actually, it was the motto of the state of Virginia. The next step is easy. Every person who is suspicious of government is a potential domestic terrorist. Better gag him and marginalize him while we can. The cause of restricting free speech, of chilling public debate, of censoring the internet, and of closing politics to outsiders has never had more friends on the left than it does today. With the guilty verdict, then, liberals may think that they have won a great political victory. They'll snuff out McVeigh and his anti-government opinions. That will send a message. If you think that the federal government is too big and intrusive, you are capable of malicious acts, you too can be killed. But the establishment is fooling itself. If it thinks the trial will dispense with the political movement with which McVeigh is identified, millions of people share his views. Millions of people share his views. Moreover, their grievances are real and their concerns genuine. Nothing about this trial or its eventual outcome is going to change that. The rise of militias and the patriot movement has not taken place in a vacuum. It coincides with a time when federal agencies have seized control of virtually every aspect of private and public life and sent forth an army of federal bureaucrats and lawyers to enforce that control. This trend has dramatically restricted individual liberty, something most Americans think they are entitled to as a matter of birth. We used to hear the phrase, "It's a free country," the phrase we use to turn back the burden of argument on those who would restrict our liberty, invade our privacy, or take our property. But no more. The burden of proof is now on the citizenry. In truth, we no longer live in a free country. The United States is host to the largest and most powerful government known to the history of man. And not a day goes by when some federal agency doesn't demand more power. The country is strewn with government's victims. It's the businessman who hired or promoted in the wrong racial configuration. The landowner whose property values have been destroyed by environmental bureaucrats. The family corporation driven to bankruptcy by regulations and taxes, or the gun collector who finds himself unjustly under federal investigation. Liberals say people who resent this are nutcases. Far nuttier is the belief that you can erect a Leviathan state in what was once a free country and not have people resent it and rise up in rebellion against it. All reports say that what's been haunting McVeigh for years is the death of more than 80 people in Waco, Texas. Well, a new film called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, thoroughly debunks the claim that the Branch Davidians killed themselves. It was produced by a leftist sick of the moral blindness of his political compatriots. When it came time for justice, who was on trial? The surviving members of the church. They were jailed for 30 years and more. The guilty verdict in the McVeigh trial will settle little. The judge forbade testimony of an informant for the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, Carol Howe, who wanted to implicate the federal government at some level. Further, the judge wouldn't allow full reports of corruption at the FBI's own lab. The prosecution kept reminding us that the government was not on trial here. Will it ever be? Can it be under our present system? Llewellyn H. Rockwell Jr., who wrote this article, is president of the Ludwig von Mises Institute for Austrian Economics in Auburn, Alabama. He wrote this article for the Los Angeles Times, ladies and gentlemen. And that brings us to the end, once again, of another great broadcast of the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Join me again tomorrow at the same time. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless each and every single one of you, and may God, in His infinite well of mercy, save this republic.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky star to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and the neighbors to today. But there ain't no doubt I love this man. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say. An American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her till today. But there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
This is the Voice of Freedom.
You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
Having a hard time finding your favorite show on shortwave or satellite? The Christian Media Newspaper now provides program guides to all the top Christian, patriot, and alternative radio programs. 4 times a year, they print an updated shortwave and satellite program guide. Christian Media is $20 per year and includes news and interviews on Christian books, video, music, and broadcasting. Subscribe now and receive a free Christian music compact disc with your paid order. To subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call